everybody, and welcome back to Katie's Crib. In this episode, we are talking about one of my favorite topics, travel. But now we're talking about travel with kids. So it's super stressful. I know for a lot of people to travel on your own and then adding a baby into the mix, it is just, it can be a lot. And just because you have a baby, it does not mean, you guys, that you have to swear off long distance trips, okay? Sometimes, you know, you just need to visit a family member far away, or sometimes you just like need a vacation, you know? And we're here to tell you that it is possible and you can do it without losing your freaking mind, okay? We are here today with one of my best friends in the entire world. It is the one, the only, Samantha Skye Shelton, who has the most beautiful name. She is a really freaking good friend of mine. And also, you guys, she is the incredible singer and talent that you hear on the music at the end and the beginning of this podcast. You know when it says,
you do it.
Yeah, that.
You do it. Do it my way.
And also, just FYI, I was Sam Shelton's backup singer for a good many years before Scandal, when we would, where would we perform?
Oh, all over Los Angeles, the clubs of LA. And now I would happily be your backup singer.
Oh, I would be your backup singer any day of the week. All I can remember was at a time in my life where I thought wearing navy blue sequin booty shorts with like high heels and tights was like a good look. But I was like a backup singer.
It was mostly part of fun just to hang out and practice like the songs and harmonize and stuff. Yeah, it was an opportunity to chill.
You know how we figured the out? Okay, so Sam and I met in an acting class 100,000 years ago, Casey's acting class. And then her husband, Steven, and my husband, Adam, became friends separately. And then we put two and two together that they were becoming fast friends and she and I were becoming fast friends. And then it was just on, and it's been on for,
ten years, something like that.
Craziness. Sam is... has always been, before babies, a traveling guru. Like,
oh, it's so sweet.
No, you do.
I love to travel.
Traveling has been, like, it has been, tell us, like, some of the places you went to before. What did your travel life look like before, when you were not a mom?
Well, I have always approached traveling, like, not so much as taking a vacation, but rather as, like, a way of life and how it's just a part of my year. I always set aside money to travel every month, and I still do to this day, as just... it's part of my own experience on this planet. I just want to see the world. I want to see as much as I can. And there is still so many more places to go.
I know,
and you have seen a lot more places probably than I have. But I mean, some of my big adventures have been to Australia, Cambodia, Thailand.
All over Europe.
All over Europe.
You were doing trains, Greece. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then
South America.
Did you feel fear? Oh, yeah. Where did you go in South America?
Argentina.
What did you feel like? Did you ever have a fear when you were thinking or talking about family planning with Steven that like traveling was going to be gone, or it was like, oh no, we're just going to bring a kid into the mix?
We always just were going to bring the kid into the mix. But I think you have, you know, people have this, you know, there's this thing where moms are like, I'm just going to strap my baby to me and just take them wherever I go. And like, you know, like they're just going to live my life with me.
They're coming into my life.
Exactly.
Right.
I'm just going to put on that, you know, put them in the sling and go.
Yeah.
And I think the reality is it's a little more complicated than that, especially for us. But it's still not even an issue for us. It's like, they're just going to have to get up and go.
And you have, tell us about your kids. You have two.
I have two adorable children, Laszlo and Poppy.
I mean, guys, let's just give a big round of applause for those dope ass names. They're amazing. Of course, a Samantha Skye Shelton would only have a Laszlo Davis and a Poppy Davis.
Thank you. Laszlo is 5 and Poppy's 2.
Yes. Do you remember your first trip with Laszlo?
I do. We went to Zihuatanejo, Mexico.
Nice.
And of course, I was terrified. And, you know, you just, there's so many unknowns. What's the plane going to be like? What's the airport going to be like? Customs. And then you're going to Mexico. And it was incredible. I remember that, you know, the people around us, you know, if you have an adorable baby, like, people are generally pretty nice to you. Mm-hmm. And Mexico is a country that loves kids and people bend over backwards. One of the craziest things about that particular trip, I'll never forget this, is, you know, I had like the car seat and the bags and the diaper bags and like all of our, you know, documents and crap. And we made it, we got in the cab, you know, things are falling everywhere, whatever. We get to the hotel. 2 days later, the security guard comes up to us and is like, can you come to the office? And we get to the office totally freaked out.
Yeah.
And he's like, he hands us our passports, which had fallen out in the back seat of the cab.
Oh, my.
And this angel taxi driver
God.
Came back to the hotel and brought the passports.
Holy.
And returned them. So talk about a moment of, like, seeing what your life could have been on the other side. Like,
oh, my God.
I was like, immigration attorneys, you know, stuck in Mexico. Like, what do you even do? I would have had no idea what to do.
And so. Do you get just stressed about, like, I think a lot of people get stressed about the plane ride, which we'll get into, and is can be a fucking nightmare. But, and I know you've lived through some shit. But I always get stressed about only traveling to places right now where I think, like, the hospitals are going to be okay. Like, that is so my alarmist-ass, dumbass self. But, like, yeah. I... Like, we took Albie on his first trip outside the country to Barcelona. He was 8 or 9 months old, and I got into my head that someone had said, you should take them when they're really young before they're walking because they nap all the time in the stroller. I was still nursing, and I could nurse on the plane, you know, which makes plane rides far more easy because they're very soothable. I felt like going to Barcelona or Madrid would be, God forbid anything bad had happened, why I chose these cities, is that a hospital would sure. be as great as one is here. And so I wasn't comfortable
first
going
world.
To a place that might not be first world. Do you ever feel that way? Or you're like...
I think if I were to do it differently, I think you totally had it right. And I should have gone to cities like that when they were babies, because it's once they're walking and crawling, then... That's a whole other ball game.
Holy
shit. But if you
can shit,
keep them
really
in the
is.
Stroller, then yes, go to Paris. Go, you know.
Yeah, I recommend the cities because they can do museums on naps. What's kind of romantic about it is even if they're jet lagged, what I found is like if he woke up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, we just threw him in the stroller and like Adam and I like strolled the city like by ourselves before the city was awake. And it was
yeah.
like super romantic and dope and awesome. And so I had heard this tip of advice to like travel with the baby before they're crawling and moving. And it's like actually, it was like, Adam and I say it was like better than our baby moon, that thing that people
oh,
take.
Where you're total queasy and you're uncomfortable. Like,
the
you're
idea
not drinking.
Of the baby moon is so stupid. It's this like dumbass Hallmark thing of like, you have to take your last trip before the baby is there. Well, you can't drink.
No.
You feel like garbage. You definitely don't want to have sex all the time.
No.
I mean, I guess some few lucky women are like super horny during pregnancy and go with God, great for them. But like, I was not.
Yeah.
So I just thought my baby moon was like supposed to be this epic, amazing thing. And it really wasn't. We went to Hawaii. But then when we went to Barcelona with the baby, it was like very romantic.
Yeah. That sounds so dreamy. I think we went to Tulum as a baby moon and then we went to Palm Springs or something. And I kind of have these vague, like kind of hot, uncomfortable, cankle
swollen.
Memories.
Yeah. Like, it's just not great. Like
going to your point about hospitals.
Yes.
I do always double check and just kind of make sure I know
where it is,
what your first line of, you know, defense would be. And in fact, I have a friend who was staying in a beautiful villa in Tuscany and she had her twins were 4 years old at the time. And, you know, what can go wrong? They're playing. One of her twins gets bit by a viper, an extremely rare, extremely deadly snake.
My
in Tuscany, that's
God.
Like unheard of. And she, it was a whole drama, but basically she was in, you know, taxis to clinics, then the clinic to, in the ambulance to, you know, Florence and in the hospital for 2 weeks. Her son is fine, thank God, and everyone's okay. But she actually gave me the great advice, which is to not only double check where the clinics and the urgent care is and all of that, but also to understand what your insurance is in a foreign country. And how to just be prepared in case something
happens. How do people go about that? Like, you just, I guess, spend some time Googling wherever it is you're going and where the closest place is? Like, I wouldn't
yeah,
know. And I guess you call your insurance company? Like,
yeah,
I
or the hotel
know.
Would know, or the town you're in, or, you know.
Yeah,
on the other hand, I don't spend too much time worrying about it.
Yeah, see, it's Sam Shelton is one of these amazing moms yeah, to have around because you're very good at that. Like, I'm the worrier, and Sam is like, it's fine. Like, it's going to be fine. It's going to work out. Okay, you guys, we're going to take a quick break and then we will be back with more Katie's Crib. I got to tell you guys about this app, Drop. Have you heard about it? I'm obsessed. It's making my life just like so much easier with all the multitasking and all the shopping I'm doing every day anyway. I'm spending, you know, money on my personal self, my family, everyone around me. And guess what? Now it comes back full circle for me, thanks to Drop, spelled D-R-O-P. It's really easy to use. Essentially, all you got to do is you download the app, you link your credit or debit card, and then boom, it's done. You automatically get points for doing the things you do every day, even when traveling. See? So it's like you're taking an Uber or a Lyft, you're getting gas, you're morning Starbucks, you're grabbing the necessities at CVS, et cetera, et cetera. All you got to do is download the app and use the code Katie's Crib, spelled K-A-T-I-E-S-C-R-I-B, for a free $5 Starbucks gift card right off the bat. This is your gift from me. Thank you so much for listening, you guys. Thank you so much for being part of Katie's Crib. And now you get a free Starbucks on me when you sign up for Drop using the code Katie's Crib. You're welcome. Get your caffeine on so you can keep being your awesome mom selves. Mwah! Okay, let's get back to my conversation all about travel. I love this stuff with Sam Shelton. So Laszlo went to Zihuatanejo, which was his first baby trip.
Yeah.
And how was he on that flight?
He was great.
Oh, you said the people were really nice.
Yeah. And he was, again, I think he was 5 months. And so he was just nursing and napping and, you know,
easy.
Chill.
Easy compared
it's
to what it is now.
It's harder when they're toddlers and you do long flights, you know, they're... And he's 5 now, and we just had a really rough flight that included a night terror, which was...
Oh, yeah. Can you explain this story? This is horrifying.
Well, night terrors happen, you know, fairly often with kids around 3-4 years old. It's a crazy dream. It's like a nightmare that they can't wake themselves up out of, and you can't wake them up out of, and you just have to ride it out. And it happens when they're overtired, and we happen to have one on a cross-country flight from New York to Los Angeles, and my poor son just was sleeping on my lap and then just sat up and started screaming bloody murder on the plane for 15 minutes solid. Could not wake him up out of this thing. He gets on the floor in front of my knees and then throws up all over my legs. The throw cup drips into my shoes. I'm sitting there in a pool. God bless the flight attendants, but they're not really great in this. They actually don't have cleaning supplies for this kind of thing.
Right. They only have barf bags for adults. But like if there's throw up everywhere, it's not like they have like an amazing endless supply of like wipes and like Clorox,
they hand you
bleach
paper
wipes
towels
or like
from
Lysol.
The bathroom. Yeah. So I was like, had my baby wipes for my 2-year old. I mean, it was a disaster. And plus, you don't bring a change of clothes for your 5-year old or yourself.
Right.
So note to, you know, maybe pack your own self a t-shirt, especially if you have a baby.
Good tip, guys.
Or, you know, pants. But we like wrapped a hoodie around my son's lap. And then
he was just naked.
Yeah, he was naked. And then we had an hour left to go in the flight. And luckily we were heading back to Los Angeles. So we were going home. But he woke up and he was like, where are my pants? He had no memory of the incident.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what is your like flight suggestions? They're both now of the age, so you guys know, babies below 2 fly for free. And so a lot of people like to take advantage of flying to visit family or taking vacations before the baby's 2 because they don't have to pay for an additional ticket, although it can be a nightmare that a baby's on your lap in a tiny ass economy seat for however long. Mm-hmm. So you're at the place now where they're getting their own seats.
Yes, and not only that, but since I have 2 kids, you know, a lot of planes are 3 and 3. So I will be sitting next to my 2 children. My husband's across the aisle listening to his podcasts and having a drink and have the time of his life. And I'm the one.
And that's just because both kids want you.
Yeah.
Right?
They just both want.
They're both
yeah.
like, I want to sit next to mommy.
Yeah,
I want
exactly.
to sit next to mommy. What is your like plane packing list right now? What are your tips? Or like, is there anything where you're like, they need this, they need that? Like, are you at iPad level? Like, do you check to see if the planes have TVs? Are you against that? How does that whole go?
We bring Kindles for both of the kids, and we're totally like, screens are great on planes. Like,
yep.
Go for it, kids. And we always have, I actually never check to see if the plane has a TV because we know we'll have our Kindle or iPad or whatever. Absolutely. There's this one thing which I highly recommend. It's called a trunkie, and it's a suitcase. It's like a plastic suitcase for toddlers, and it has wheels on the bottom of it and a strap and handles. And the kids, it's like it's a toy for the kids to play on while they're waiting in the airport because they can scoot around on it. Mm-hmm. You can pull them by the strap. They hold on and you give them a ride.
I've seen this at the airport. They look amazing.
It's genius. My son loves it. We
and then what's in there?
We
his
just
toys
pack.
And stuff? Or
yeah, we bring the iPad. My son's obsessed with travel and airplanes, no wonder. So he always brings his toy planes to have on the plane. And then we pack workbooks, coloring books, magnetiles are great. Magnetiles are those plastic magnets that you can build structures with, but they stick together. They're magnetic. Oh, Albie will soon be doing the magnetiles. So I'm going to get him some. But they are incredible because they suck together, and so they're easy to store.
They're kind of like their own game.
Exactly.
And what's the snack situation for you on planes? Are you like a big pre-snack packer?
I bring tons of snacks. Yeah. I bring like tangerines, goldfish, whatever snack, you know, veggies, all of that stuff. And I also, part of the fun for my kids is getting a snack at the airport to take on the plane. So they always like to get the muffin or get the treat.
Right.
M&Ms. Right. We always keep the M&Ms. If something's going wrong after 45 minutes, you got to bring those M&Ms and offer a couple M&Ms.
Damn, this is all so smart. This is what's coming down the pipe for me, because see, I'm still dealing with a toddler who, like, I can't give him magnet tiles because Albie's of the age, like, I can't bring anything on the plane that he can throw, because he will throw it into aisles up in front and behind us. And I pack the most snacks you've ever seen in your entire life. You know how it used to be, like, you would travel with your backpack that had, like, your book in it that you were reading and, like, your planner or, like, whatever. Now Adam has a backpack that has, like, a few of my things in it, because I don't read on planes anymore. I don't do anything for myself on planes anymore. It's just a full-time job of entertaining my child, so that I'm trying to be respectful of the other people flying. And so there's one backpack that has my wallet and passport, and then my backpack is filled with, I've heard, a bunch of diapers. I think it's one per hour when they're little.
That seems like
was what I'd read. The most wipes ever, a change of outfit, the most snacks ever. And then I also always bring on the plane Motrin, a thermometer, which it's crazy, I just feel like I should have it, and Benadryl. And I was reading that you bring those things on the plane because, God forbid, they have a crazy, like, allergic reaction at 35,000 feet, or they start running a temperature. You can administer either of those things. You should also make sure you've tried those things before you're trying them on a plane, just to know that your kid doesn't react poorly to them. Like, you don't want the first time you're trying Motrin or Benadryl to be on a plane. Have tried that before.
Like I did.
Oh, you did that?
No. With my older son, I gave him Benadryl for the first time on a 8-hour flight, and he is of the 2% or 3% of kids or something who has the opposite reaction, and instead of it making them sleepy and drowsy, it made him, like, overactive and crazy.
Oh.
So definitely talk to your pediatrician and maybe give that a try.
Give it a try before you fly. Have you ever been one of those people? And I have not. I've seen on Instagram, like, amazing people who come onto the plane with a baby and, like, have brought gifts or Starbucks gift cards for everyone who sits around you.
I'm totally against that.
I'm against it too. Fuck that. I'm sorry, but, like, what the fuck? Like, I have time for that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to buy gift cards. Like, I'm sorry. I'm a nice person. I'm going to do the best I can.
Exactly. I've never been given a little baggie of, like, earplugs and treats and whatever, but I honestly, like, it's the last thing on my mind when I'm getting ready for a flight. And by the way, like, you know, everyone's doing the best they can. Kids are kids. They're going to do what they do. You're not getting on an airplane to have a vacation on the airplane. It's like, it's a mode of transportation. So let's just all, like,
hunker down, put in your earphones.
Exactly.
Like,
bring your own earplugs.
Yeah, bring your own freaking earplugs. Yeah, I see this on Instagram, like, these wonderful I might be a bitch. I mean, I don't know. But, like, I was like, oh my God, that's what I'm supposed to be thinking of. I mean, I'm trying to pack for my entire family. I know that I will walk 1,000. Oh, here's a question. Have you found it to be easier to fly with brakes, or do you think it's easier to fly overnight?
I definitely think you should just get it one and done. Do the longer flight. I personally, like, don't want to go through taking off and landing, getting off a plane, getting on a plane. Mm. For me, that's, I know other people have a different opinion, and, like, they like the break, they like to let their kid run around or whatever. Yeah. For me, I just prefer to, like, let's just get it over with.
Yeah. Are your kids do they have bad reactions to the ascend and descend?
They don't. They have both been pretty even keeled. But, you know, they say sucking on something. I've nursed my kids, and I usually try to do that on takeoff or landing, but they say you can also give them, you know, like a lollipop. I have some friends who give their kids lollipops.
That's brilliant, because a lot of times kids cry the most they can't regulate their ears going up and going down.
Yeah.
So that's when they cry the most. Have you ever had negative run-ins with fellow passengers? Because I just had my first one and it was a fucking nightmare.
I haven't actually. I think most people have been pretty nice. I mean, you get some like some sour looks. I'm sure when my son threw up, you know, and there was an hour left to go, people were not necessarily
thrilled.
But I didn't even look because, I mean, what can I do? It's like, yeah, we're all doing the best we can.
You guys, was away over Christmas. Did I tell you this yet? Oh, I did. Okay. I came home. We were flying home from the Dominican Republic, and I treated, this is a huge controversy. I've since done a lot of research and looked into it, but there is a whole thing about should babies or should babies not be in first class. It's a big touchy subject. I, most of the time, do not fly first class. It's really expensive, and that's for when mommy's working and someone else is paying for that. But the first class flights from Atlanta to LA were crazily not expensive, and I went for it. Also, I think the holidays, being a former scandal actor, I get people asking to take a lot of photos, and sometimes I'm really tired, mm-hmm. and I have a baby, and I don't really want pictures of Albie out there. So I bought the first class ticket, and we walked on the plane, and in the first 2 minutes, there's a dude and his girlfriend or wife, whatever, three rows behind us, and they are shushing Albie every 2 seconds. Every sound he makes, he did not cry. He was talking. He's a toddler, so a lot of like, hola, and like, yeah, and like, boo, boo, bee, 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 like whatever. And they keep going, shh, 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 and rolling their eyes at us anytime I made eye contact.
I cannot.
It lasted for about an hour, the tons of shushing, until my husband stood up, went to go back to the bathroom holding Albie, and they shushed us again. And Albie and Adam went up to the gentleman and said, hey, is there a problem? Is there something we could be doing to make this flight better? I'm really sorry. And they said, this is ridiculous. We're the only people that have the balls to speak up in first class, but your baby is screaming and you need to get control of your baby. And I heard this go down, to which then I stood up and said, excuse me, we're doing a great job. Our baby hasn't even cried. And he said, you need to be walking your baby up and down the aisle.
And I
said, oh, I took my hoops off. And I was like, do you just hate babies or something? That's what I said to this guy. He said, no, I have a daughter. And his girlfriend was like, yeah, he has a daughter. And I was like, well, obviously you're like a fucking horrible father. It was a nightmare. Thank God we didn't get into an actual fight with them, because they were tan and ripped as hell and they would have broken Adam and I in fucking half. But they were horrible. They hated the baby. They hated us. They said, we paid $1,300 for this flight. And I said, you know, we've paid for first class as well, and we have every right to be here. We got the bulkhead, and it was...
Absolutely. What did the stewardess or the
flight
attendant...
So the flight attendant came up and said, yes, sir, you can't be constantly shushing the baby. In my 15 years of being a flight attendant, I've never seen behavior like this. He asked for her name because he was going to file a complaint with Delta, to which then I said, well, yeah, what is your name? Because I'm going to be filing a compliment with Delta, which I did for Stacy Brooks. I know you, Stacy Brooks, Delta flight. I can't remember the number,
Stacey.
But from Atlanta to, no, Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, no, Punta Cana to Atlanta.
Oh,
anyway.
My God.
This was my first and only run-in that has been very negative, but since then I've done some research, and there are people who just really believe babies shouldn't be in first class, and maybe that's true.
I've never heard that.
I don't know. I mean, the only freaking problem is that I'm like, Kim Kardashian flies first class with her babies. I've seen her do that. Like, what do you do if you're someone who's in the entertainment industry?
Yeah.
And when I fly economy, which I do all the time with a hat and glasses, everyone in the back of the airplane is always like, what are you doing back here? And I'm like, well, I'm just like a person like you with like my kid. And they're like, yeah, but you're on Scandal. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm also like an actor who's like looking for a job. Do you know what I mean? It gets very odd.
I think that's crazy. I've never heard that about babies, but I think that if I could afford to fly in business or first class with my baby, I would absolutely 100% do that, because that's going to give you a better experience with your kid. And at the end of the day, I think, and this is probably a good rule of thumb for travel in general, which is just, you cannot please all of the people all the time or care about what people are thinking. Like, if I see a kid on a plane crying or whatever, I just want to see that the parents are trying to do something. You know, that makes me feel like, well, what can they do? But it looks like they care.
Right.
And they're making an effort.
Right.
Now, Albie wasn't even crying, so these people are...
Insane. And it sounds like, I mean, you've traveled with your baby so many times, and this is definitely, and this was Albie's 13th flight, and I have never had an experience like this. So this is obviously the exception and not the rule. But I think you're right. I think it comes into a lot of, like, if you're someone who's, you know, very attached to what people think. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest exercise. Flying with a baby is the biggest practice you will ever have of just, you cannot care. You can only do what you can do.
Exactly. You have to find that meditative place inside of you to just tune out the eyeballs or whatever and just try to help your kid out with whatever's going on. And, you know, sometimes there's a reason, sometimes there's not. Right. But, you know, my daughter screamed for about 9 hours straight on an overnight flight. And
where were you going?
Fiji.
I mean, you guys, Sam Shelton took two babies to Fiji. Like, this woman is a beast. Like, these are goals right now. These are goals. Because I cried. Like, when I had a baby, we were making Albie. Like, one of the biggest concerns I had was that I felt like my travel life was over. And because Adam and I had been not working actors for so long, our travel life was very short. Like, we had some years where we actually could afford to see the world, and I feel like you do. I feel like it's my responsibility to try to see as much as I can. And I love immersing myself in other cultures and other places, and I just was very upset when I got pregnant. Like, I don't want that to change. And you're such an inspiration to me.
You're an inspiration to me. You've seen it. You have been everywhere.
But with a baby, dude, that is hard fucking core.
Well, you know what? I think at the end of the day, it's like, it's as hard as it can be. And, you know, the rough nights, the sleeping, the the jet lag, whatever.
We got to talk about that.
It's always worth it. I've never regretted a trip. I've never regretted it. And it's like time passes. You're on a plane for 10 freaking hours. It's going to end eventually, and then you're going to be in Fiji or you're going to be wherever. And it's, you know, if you can just keep your head out of other people's, you know,
issues
and focus on just getting through it and getting to the next stage and taking a nap or, you know, making it work with your partner, it's always worth it.
What about now that we've gotten off the plane, which, guys, that is the big, That is a big part of it. Let's talk about hotel situations, staying with friends, relatives. Like, what do you prefer?
We've done a lot of Airbnbs and rentals, and that's always great and fun, especially if, you know, you want to have a fridge or you're making your breakfast for your kids or whatever. Like, that's always great. On the other hand, it can mean that you're also doing exactly what you do at home on vacation with a million dishes a day or, you know, step two. So I can see the benefit of just, like, the room service and the hotel life.
Whoa, I didn't think about the Airbnb. That's a really good idea, because I have found so far in our baby Albie travels that, like, yes, having a house is a sort of a better situation because there's, like, a bathtub and, like, some of these nice hotel rooms only have a shower or, like, you know, we have a full kitchen so I can do his food. But you're right. Like, then you're just doing the same shit you do at home.
You've brought all this gear from home, all the pouches and the things and the spoons and the sippy cups that you like to have at home. And then next thing you know, you're, like, doing the same thing you do at home in your rental house.
I never thought about it like that. When you're traveling, what are the things that you think about?
Space is also important. So it's like hotel rooms don't often have, you know, the best space. And I know you've, like, Albie slept in many a bathroom with the
door closed. So many bathrooms.
To get the blackout.
We have these baby, this travel crib. When we travel, we take his travel crib everywhere. It's 13 pounds, so it's so light, and we pop that shit open everywhere we've been. He's lucky if he gets a room. Most of the time, he doesn't. He's usually in, like, a nicer sized bathroom with the door cracked.
A roomy closet.
We've done a bunch of those. For me, it's like, as long as I know there's air ventilation, that's the only thing I get, like, a little bit nervous about.
Agreed.
Because you want there to be, like, a fan or vents or whatever. But that white, we bring our white noise machine.
Oh yeah.
We bring the travel crib. We bring his sippy cups or bottles. And we always bring, I know it's not the best, but we do bring pouches, you know, of the food and all that stuff. Sometimes we've traveled places where, I just came to our first experience in the Dominican Republic. There was no milk.
Whoa.
Like, there's milk, but it's Parmalat. Which I'd never given him, like shelf
in those boxes.
In the boxes, which I didn't know if he would have some, you know. My dad and I, like, ran to the grocery store and I was like, well, Albie has, like, you know, his two bottles of milk every single day. And I was like, oh shit, there's no milk here. The milk that I know, in a refrigerator, like, this is, like, it's all on a shelf and it's, like, powder or whatever. I don't know, but he
did fine with it.
Yeah, he had diarrhea for, like, a day or two, and then he was fine. He loved it, and actually, then the whole family loved it. Everyone was, like, trying it with, like, our Oreos at night, and we were like, "Holy shit, this Parmalat's freaking amazing!" And then we were putting it in our coffee, like, it was delicious.
There's certain things you can get on the other side that you don't need to pack, like diapers. Wipes, although some countries' diapers are
weirdo.
You can't get seventh generation everywhere you go.
And I have found that Amazon, I mean, if you're flying domestically and you're doing it, I definitely Amazon in advance. A thing of diapers, a thing of wipes, a thing of baby Aquaphor.
To your family's house.
Yeah, I send it to my family's house in advance because I don't want to fly with that stuff. And then also it's so great to get there and not have to do an additional run to the grocery store. Like, you show up and there's already diapers, wipes, the soap that I use in the bath, like the few basic things.
Yeah. I do think that people can go a little overboard with the gear, though. Like, I have seen, at a certain point, you have to just say enough. And
that, like, we're going somewhere that people live and it's going to be accessible to them.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, yes, like the pack and play or the sleeping situation, whatever is you feel comfortable with, that's always very key. The lovies. I always pack a lovey in the suitcase and then bring one on the plane just in case a lovey gets, like the luggage gets lost or whatever. Like, my kids need to sleep with
that
their lovies.
That is genius. So, I never even thought about that. I always check the loveys. I don't even think about it.
The one time the lovey got lost. It was
also
not cute.
Oh my God, a lovey is just like the little baby.
It's a little blankie.
It's a little blankie that goes in their crib, that whatever little thing that they've had since they were a baby that they
their
always
attachment.
Sleep with in their crib. It's like a lot of babies have a little
teddy bear
or a little blankie or something like that. And a lot of parents will have a few of them so that when one eventually gets lost.
Their comfort object.
Yes, their comfort object. So you fly with one and you check one, which is genius. What about routine? Like, if you're someone who's really on a good sleep schedule and a good eating schedule that is you're, like, pretty stuck with, I think that holds a lot of people back from traveling, too.
They get scared
they
about...
They get really scared about time changes and how they're going to do it and all that stuff. How do you handle it?
Well, as you know, my kids are not great sleepers, naturally.
It's not they're not great sleepers. They just really like to be alive and awake and, like, part of this world.
So I think it's just that part we just... It's like, you're going to travel, it's going to be different anyways. You know, we go with God. But I always think that, you know, the nap, we're not ones to try to skip naps. I do believe that, like, you know, but when you're traveling, sometimes they have to nap on a go, or you think about it, like, okay, they're going to do, we're bringing the stroller, so we'll do like a stroller nap or a car nap. Try to time out your road trip or whatever, you know, part of the day for the nap so that you can get that out of the way. You know, sometimes my kids have had a hard time napping in like unusual hotel rooms or whatever. And so I usually try to figure out how to do the nap on the go. Bedtime, it really depends on the time change. You know, sometimes it's like if you're traveling to the East Coast, it's nice to keep the LA kids on the East Coast schedule, which I know you just did.
I rock that. My whole family's on the East Coast, and obviously we live in LA, and it is the shit. Like, because he sleeps 7 to 7 here, so when I go back to the East Coast for the holidays at any point, which we do every year for every freaking holiday, we just do 10 to 10. So, like, what's great about that is he wakes up at like 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. He takes a nap 3 hours later. He takes another nap 3 hours later, and then he's up, you know, from 6 to 10 at night, and he has dinner with the whole family. We take him out to dinner. It's wonderful. I just keep him on his exact LA schedule, and I just move it 3 hours later.
What happens with my kids, we go to the East Coast, it's like that for 2 days, and then because they love to be awake, the sun, they just start waking up.
There's circadian rhythms, they like can't do it.
Or if you're going like to Hawaii or you're going west from here, then you're up at 4 in the morning, and that's not fun. But it's usually just a day or two, I say, especially like going to someplace, I think, is easier than coming home.
Yeah, how is the home transition for you?
It's always
a shit show.
Yeah.
And but like you've said, you've never found it to not be worth it.
Exactly. And, you know, it might be hard coming back for a couple days or whatever, but there's also a comfort about everyone's got their own beds, their own, you know, like the routine, the night, the
your bath, your stuff.
There's something about that that's very also soothing for them. Mm-hmm. So it might be rough depending on where you've been, but it's
have
not,
you ever flown with the kids by yourself?
Have I? No, I haven't.
Yeah, I don't. Take a friend. I mean, single moms out there, we've had some of you on Katie's Crib. It is the realest thing. I just traveled with him by myself on an overnight flight, and I wanted to prove to myself that I could more than anything. Like, Adam's so wonderful, and he's such an involved dad, and he's so helpful on the plane. Like, I don't even think I've ever before that had ever changed Albie's diaper on a plane, because Adam just does it every time, mm-hmm. which is the jam. Also, by the way, we play in the bathroom for a good 15 minutes. That's like another event on the plane. It's like, oh, he has to go to the bathroom? Okay, we're going to pull down the changing table. He's going to sit on it for 15 minutes. He's going to pull out all these tissues, then we're going to put them back. Then he's going to play with the soap. Then we're going to put that back. Like, it's just just, oh, another activity where he's like being held down.
yeah.
But I flew by myself overnight to Buffalo for Christmas, and it was, he didn't sleep for 1 minute. I lost an entire night of sleep. I walked probably 7 miles up and down the fucking aisle for 5 hours while he did back bends and screamed and punched me in the face. And it was the first time I like held his arms and I was like, looked him in the eye and I was like, please stop. Please. Like, I had been pushed to the brink without a break. And then my, you know what? And then I was like, this is why it's really interesting being an older mom, because my back from carrying him up and down aisles for 5 hours was like on fire. Like, yeah. I just was like, this
in
is
so much pain. Oh, I always bring aspirin for myself.
Oh, great
bring
idea.
Bring
I didn't
kids,
do that either.
Bring Advil for yourself, 100%. You're going to be in some weird positions.
We always bring the Ergo on the plane too, which is the baby carrier, mm-hmm. because we'll do breaks where like he'll play in the seat and then we'll hold him walking up and down the aisle, but then we'll put him in the carrier, which gives your arms sort of a break, but then it screws up your back. I mean, it's always just about like what body part is being injured at this point.
Well, and you had mentioned earlier the bulkhead, which I am such a huge fan of. If there's any way you can get those seats first, I mean, it's a little tricky to take off and landing because you have to store things up above, whatever, but having a little play area, if your kids are old enough to sort of like have an activity on the floor there, you know.
Bulkhead is the jam. We build like a blockade so that he can't get to the aisle, and we just put Adam's like backpack there, and then we throw all of his toys on the floor of the bulkhead, and it's like having a little playroom right now, thank God.
Can I tell you also what I do? The first thing I do when I get on the plane is I bring Wet Ones antibacterial wipes, and I just wipe every surface, seatbelt,
you have
seat.
To. And this goes for people who aren't moms, because my aunt Glenda is a flight attendant and I love her very much, and she confided in me, and now I will confide in all of you, that those tray tables and TVs are very rarely, if ever, cleaned. So so all y'all traveling and don't want the flu and this, that, and the other thing, you might be the psychopath that everyone judges while you're taking out mm-hmm. your Clorox wipes, but I wipe
don't
that
care.
Shit down. Don't care. Well, also for babies, because he does put the remote in his mouth.
Exactly.
He does lick the television. He does do all of those things.
Oh, my kids' faces are on the windows, and they're lifting and closing the windows and like blowing on the window panes and stuff. I'm just imagining all the hands that have lifted and closed, you know.
Great tip. We've talked a lot about the stress involving travel, but when we say, which I think is really the point of this episode, that it is worth it, why do you think so? Like, what is your...
I think, first of all, travel is not just the trip, but it's looking forward to the trip, and it's planning it, and that brings me joy in advance of the trip. And for me, that's a hobby, and it's something I really love to do. So it's kind of like not just a week in time or whatever, but it's the whole leading up to it, which gives me energy and the anticipation of it. And then knowing that it's never going to be how you anticipate it, but to let go of that and to be in it, it's almost like a mindfulness thing, and it's so amazing. And I at this point in time, I'm not picking places that are going to be super challenging as far as like planes, trains, and automobiles, and you know, maybe cities that are difficult to get through, get around, but rather I'm looking for places that have a lot of natural beauty that will be welcoming with the kids, that I can sort of have an easygoing kind of landing experience and just kind of go with it. But for me, it's just so life affirming to be around people of different cultures and to hear their stories and to eat the food and not just try to recreate my own life in another country, but just kind of be a family in another country and see kind of and just absorb and learn, from the world around me.
When people say that thing of like, well, it's not worth it, the kids don't remember it, or things like that, do you feel like you're giving them memories or life lessons, or like how do they, does Laszlo, like I'm dreaming big, like does Laszlo remember these things and
he's
talk
starting
about them?
To I have thought about that, and there's a lot of things, you know, he does not remember Zihuatanejo at
right.
all, of
right.
course right. But there are a lot of things now he remembers, you know, surprisingly his memory is very sharp, and I think even if he doesn't remember it, it's in his fabric, it's in his, you know, muscles somewhere.
I love that.
And also, it's my memory. I remember it. And, you know, frankly,
need that shit.
I'm the mom. So
you're, yeah, you're building the memories. The biggest thing that, one of the loveliest things that Adam has done so far as a dad was we went to Barcelona, as I said. And again, it was something like I wanted to prove to myself that we could do it. But he, when we came back, made a children's book that had pictures of Albi in Spain with, like, you know, when we saw a church or this, and then each word in Spanish, so
oh
that it's like
gosh,
a Spanish
Adam's
picture book.
Best.
But like Adam was like, then that way when Albie's like 3, 4, 5, 6, and we're going to build books, like a library of the places in the world he has seen. And I'm hoping that it affects his memory, that he remembers that the world is a big place and he's been like super fortunate to see some of it. And I hope that he gets the travel bug.
You know, I, growing up, we just went on road trips to my grandparents.
Mine too.
Or
same.
Camping.
Same.
We never took vacations like
ever.
This. So maybe for me, it's more exciting and part of what I want to do because I didn't have that as a kid. So maybe our kids will not have that. See, maybe they'll be spoiled brats.
Like, I know. I didn't leave
whatever.
The country until I was an adult.
I've
like
been
my
to Sri
parents
Lanka.
Never. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My kids like my first beach vacation was Fiji.
I know exactly. It could be a total jerk that way.
But you're right. It's
whatever.
For us.
It's for
it's
me.
For us.
It's for you.
This is so. I could talk about this stuff for hours. I mean, travel is literally one of my life passions and where I feel happiest. I think it's not coincidental that when I travel with our family, our phones are off. We're very present with each other. Which I think is what offsets the stress of travel. Like, I think as stressful as it is to fly and pack and be prepared and send shit there in advance and what are you going to do about food and there is no milk and all that stuff. Once you get there, you've set aside that time for vacation and for experience. Mm-hmm. And, we turn off our phone. We only check our phones once a day, you know. It's like a totally different thing. And I feel like that's worth it.
Sure. An opportunity to unplug and just kind of be where you are. And it's huge. I think it's really, and it's a great privilege. I mean, let's be honest. We are lucky to be able to even have this conversation, you know?
So true. I am not looking forward to when Albie's over two and I have to buy him a flight. I'm like, wait, what? How much is
two kids over two and you have to buy
my God.
Four tickets. And then from there, now I know why my parents only took us on road trips.
Is there any advice you want to give to moms who might be afraid of traveling or might be having their first travel coming up? Or,
well, I think that it depends. Like if you're just, if you have to go to your in-laws or to your family or you have to do something, then, you know, you might be nervous, but it's not even an option. So just to arm yourself with as much, you know, help. And luckily my partner is great at trading off. Like I might have a really rough night with my kids, but like we have a deal where I get to take like an early morning nap and he takes a turn with the kids. And then after that point, you know, all is well, we can deal. It's just as it's taking care of yourself in little baby steps. Like, what do you need to get through this day? I have sobbed on planes lots of times.
Love
you know,
that.
Been totally overwhelmed. And it's just part of it. I think, like we
and yet you're
about
still it. Doing it.
I still do it. Why? I'm crazy. I'm a
no,
crazy
you're
person
awesome.
I am.
You're so awesome.
But I think
love
you have
it.
To take care of yourself. And also as a person, like if travel is something important to you and you had that bug and spark and you did that when you were, you know, before you had kids, then maybe honor that and, you know, don't shut that off just because you have kids, but give them a chance to see what happens. And if it all goes horribly, well, you can, that happens, you know, and you
also,
can change your mind.
It changes again, too.
That.
Like, kids
yeah.
change so much. Like, they might be terrible at it at 2 and then great at it at 5. Like, it's so, I mean, I can't wait. Albie's not at the age yet where he understands stories on an iPad, so I don't have, it's just me entertaining him for 6 hours, but like, or longer, but as soon as he gets like good at watching a movie, hello, like I can't
your
wait.
Life is I'm about
still,
to.
Oh, I cannot wait to just put him down in front of a screen. I mean, I'm not a screen person otherwise, but for travel, forget it.
Sure,
forget
and,
it.
You know, there's all kinds of little devices you can get, like earphone splitters if you have two kids, so that they can share one iPad or. You know, there's these amazing, like, battery charger packs. You can, you know, because things run out of charge. Not all airplanes have the charging stuff on them. And,
holy
you know, there's a whole
shit.
Industry of travel stuff, which I'm not really, you know, great at getting everything. But
there are
some
options for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hacks,
cool stuff.
Travel hacks.
Travel hacks, yeah.
I know the first time a bunch of my friends traveled, they were, like, all calling the airlines in advance, like, do we need the birth certificate? Do I need a passport, even though I'm only traveling domestically? Like, what do you bring for that kind of stuff?
I have been stopped at the gate by flight attendants who want, I'll start over. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. my daughter has, rephrase this? I'm going to get in my head about this. When traveling, I've had to show my daughter's passport or proof that she's not two. If you have a toddler who looks maybe like they're a little bit older, they will sometimes ask to see proof that they're not two.
What?
But like, I think Southwest always checks. But you can usually get by with a picture of it, of their passport, if you show them a picture or some kind of proof. I think I showed them an Instagram birth announcement that had my daughter's, like, that had the date on it, and they were like, okay, that's fine. Like, they let that go.
Oh, my God.
But in general, I always have a picture of their passport because something happens with the actual passports or whatever like that.
You always travel with, which is really smart.
Domestically, I don't take my kids' passports, but I have a picture of their passports on my phone.
Great. Okay, so a picture of their passports on their phone for domestic, and I did travel when I first started traveling with him with his birth certificate because that's what I was supposed to do, and no one ever asked me for it. So, like, I have no idea. And now that he has a passport, which, by the way, for all of you guys, if you're interested in getting your kid's passport, is the cutest freaking thing in the entire world.
Yep.
Like, his passport photo is, I cannot. It is so cute.
Yeah.
We travel with that if we're flying outside of the country. But in the country, yeah, I don't bring it, but I do have a photo of it on my phone just in case. That's a smart idea.
And he's getting older, so you might get asked next time you go, you know.
Is he two?
Is he two?
Because you should have paid for this, the seat for him.
Yeah. Or they just want to see, because I guess I can imagine people try to get away with that.
Hell yeah, save that money.
He just turned two last month. You know, it's like still there too.
Oh my God.
But as far as documents, you know, I have been places where they, like a daycare that wanted to see his immunization records or whatever. But that stuff is all reachable.
Oh, that's a question we never talked about. Have you hired babysitters in foreign countries or anywhere on vacation? Because some people are really nervous about that. Like, some people are very like, you know, sometimes hotels have daycare offered or like nannies for like not that much, and you can hire a nanny to come to your hotel room at night so that you and your husband can go out to dinner, or like you and your parents or whatever. Have you done that before?
Yes, we've hired babysitters through hotels in foreign countries, and I trusted them and it was fine. You know, were they the best babysitters I've ever had? No, you know. I've hired babysitters through friends in cities and then wished I had gone through the hotel, because these people ended up being kind of like, you know, wacko. So sometimes maybe your friends are not as vetted as like the hotel, which is like extremely...
Are you CPR certified? Like chances are a lot of times if you're hiring a nanny through a resort or through a hotel or through something like that, they've had to be CPR trained, they've had to have a lot of background checks, things like that. So most of the time, even though their personality wise might not be your exact jam, they're probably experienced.
Yeah, and I've had some sitters through friends who have been amazing too, and I felt so comfortable because I at least had one degree of separation and I knew the person and their kids, and I felt so comfortable. I think it really comes down to your comfort. Like, I was so nervous dropping my son off at his first like daycare in a foreign city. I think it was like a ski trip in Tahoe or something, and I was like, oh, terrified. And it was fine. He had a blast and it was all good. But I think trying to fold in some sort of childcare into your trip so you can maybe have an opportunity with your partner to like go out to dinner or do something is nice, and you know, makes
what about
it worth
have you ever heard of these things? Like, I've had friends text and ask, like, so is it bad if we're like in a hotel room and the monitor's on and we go down to the restaurant in the hotel to like go out to dinner? No, I'm serious. Like, these are the texts I get. Like, okay, we're in Mexico and our room is over here and the restaurant is like right across the pool, and if our monitor's on, can we go out to dinner and get wasted? Like, what's everyone's feeling on that?
What do you think?
I haven't done
it, right?
But like, I probably would do it. I thought about doing it in the Dominican Republic. Like, we had the hotel room right next to the bar, and my parents were meeting there for like a drink at 5, and Albie was still napping. And I was like, the monitor's on my phone. Like, I'm literally looking at him, and I am literally, I don't know, 35 steps away. So, I mean, he ended up waking up and it didn't happen, but I was almost doing it.
Yeah.
Like, I was almost like, it's fine. Like,
same. We almost did it once, and it was before video monitors. So we had like the sound monitor. And then I think I think my husband
called
his phone.
Yeah, we've done that.
And so his phone was on and we had a phone. So we were like listening and we walked, but I think we'd like chickened out. Like, we walked out 10 minutes and then we're...
Some people are pretty brave about it. Like, I have a friend on a tour right now of a show. You know, she's in a musical tour around the country and her baby's with her. And they're staying... So they're in a lot of hotels a lot. And she'll get out of the show at 11 p.m. and, like, the baby's asleep and they have the monitor on. And, like, her and her husband go down to the hotel bar and they just, like, have drinks. And she's like, I mean...
God forbid that one time, though, it's like... That terror would live within me.
But, like, what would happen? I mean, I guess it's scary. I don't know. But I'm sure, like, 30 years ago, I mean, oh, my God. Like,
my mother-in-law would be having a heart attack right now.
But, like, my parents used to take us camping every year, and we would be asleep in the cabin, all the babies, and my parents would be, like, down the row of cabins at the fire pit with everybody, like, drinking 1,000 beers, roasting hot dogs, and we were far away. In a cabin, and they're like, we would just hear, like, you could scream, like, if you woke up. Like, you know what I mean? I just, we're so...
A little bit overprotective.
Protective, and we are always nervous of the worst scenario happening. So I'm curious of, like, how other moms do it.
Well, speaking to worst case scenario, you know, I know I've texted you a picture of the amount of medication I take to foreign countries.
This is big.
Because... my doctor, you know, he said, like, look, if you're in Hawaii, I can call you in a Z-Pack or whatever for the kid. But, like, if you're in Fiji or you're in one of these other crazy places, like, it's going to be more difficult. So let me just give you this prescription in advance and you have it in your bag and you're ready to go. So I always bring, like, some kind of antibiotic. And
so smart. Huge travel tip. I used to do that for myself when we would travel alone. Like, when we went to Africa, I brought, like, or anywhere we would go, I would bring UTI medicine, traveler's diarrhea medicine, a
yeast infection,
hello, give me Diflucans. But, like, I would travel with that stuff because, we know. Like, you got a yeast infection, we, like, know what's happening. And, like, I don't, you know, so you take a Diflucan.
You don't
want
to go take 4 days
to find a Monistat 7 that's, like, hundreds of years old. But this is a great call with babies, too. If you go to a place that it might not be easily accessible to you, to go to your pediatrician and say, hey, I'm traveling to this foreign country. That it might not be so easy to get stuff. What do you recommend taking? Can I take one antibiotic with me? Should I take cold syrup, cough syrup, if your child's of age to be taking that stuff?
Exactly. My son has really bad eczema, and so we always have, like, different kinds of the hydrocortisone creams and the things that we can have just extra. There's, like, a antibiotic ointment in case one of his eczemas gets infected. You know, things like that would be hard. And, again, you could go down a crazy wormhole and go way overboard on this stuff, so... It's not really necessary in general, but for places where it might be a little more off the beaten path, I definitely recommend that.
So smart. You are my travel and friend goals guru of having amazing, awesome kids who are world travelers like their mommy.
Oh, thank you.
And I hope I'm sitting here in 3 or 4 years saying that I went to Fiji with 2 children and I was brave enough to do it.
Well, likewise, you are an incredible traveler with your son. You've already taken him to such amazing places.
Thank you.
And gosh, do all your listeners know how wonderful you are?
No,
Katie loves
you.
It's so wonderful.
You. I love you
and
very
much. And we're going to travel together. And we're going to take our kids together.
That's our next
and
goal.
And we'll live podcast.
Yeah. Come on, guys. We'll live stream our travels of the plane with our children throwing up and watching iPads. Thank you so much for being on Katie's Crib. I love you.
I do it my way. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening and for your amazing feedback and tweets and messages and reviews and sharing Katie's Crib with your friends and your family. It means so, so much to me. So please keep it coming and check us out on shondaland.com. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.